blessed us, ushering us, Lord, into your presence, bringing us under the sweet influence and the power of your word that saves, your word that delivers, your word that cleanses, your word that purges, your word that brings establishment, your word which is unto us life. And in that life, we walk in the light. Thank you, Father, that you have never left us alone. Thank you, Father, that you have never dealt with us according to that which is wrong with us. And thank you for your kind intentions, which are about to be made manifest among your sons and your daughters. We bless you, Holy Spirit, for your presence to bring illumination, to bring us into the understanding and the realization of that which is true. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen.
Amen.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We thank God for a glorious time in his presence. Great, 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 great. I bind every spirit of destruction.
Yes, yes.
I bind everything that steals the treasure from the sons and the daughters. And I loose the peace of God. I loose the presence of God into the hearts and into the habitation of the sons and the daughters of the Most High. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Beautiful. Well, let's continue. So we're talking about today, attempt great things. Attempt great things. For who? For God, of course. Now, we're going to read some scriptures. Let's read Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 from verse 1. We're going to read let's read verse 4 first. Let's read Isaiah 54, verse 2, sorry. Isaiah 54, verse 2. And then we will expand and let the Holy Spirit explode it into our hearts and into our understanding. Wonderful. I tell you, the Lord has great intentions for us. The Lord has great intentions for us. And I want to tell you that you ain't seen nothing yet, okay?
Yes.
I want to tell you that you ain't seen nothing yet. It says, enlarge the place of thy tent. Enlarge the place of thy... Can we all read together? Ready? Go. Enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy sticks. Wow.
Oh.
Wow. This is a prophetic declaration for our day, our time. It is now. It's about to happen mightily. The word of the Spirit of God to you is enlarging your place, enlarging your the place of your tent. That is your habitation. And let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. So make room for the increase. That is what it's saying. Make room for the increase. Make room for the increase. Stretch forth the curtains. And don't spare. Don't spare. Don't spare. Don't be inhibited. Don't be prohibited. Don't be narrowed down. Don't be limited by what stands in the way. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. You know, the cords, you would notice, it's like you lengthen the cords that the curtains lie over. Mm-hmm. Lengthen it so that you make room. There's so much. There's an increase.
Yes.
And you must enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation and don't spare. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. You know, when a child is about to be born, when a couple, two people are married, They live, they can choose to even live in one bedroom or a studio. But when there is an expectation of an addition to the family, you would notice that there is a feverish intention to enlarge the place of the habitation. True or false?
Yes.
There is such an intention to enlarging the place of their dwelling.
Yes.
And they don't spare. Mm-hmm. If you want to understand the word not spare, go and talk to Angie. She'll let you understand what it means to not spare. Because I remember the kind of cot she went to buy. A very gorgeous baby cot. Is that correct? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, they call it crib.
Crib, yes, the crib. She went for the best of the best. A very wild. I mean, when you see now, you see that this is for a very precious child who is coming, and a precious addition to the family. She spared not. She spared not. So God is saying that enlarging the tents, stretch forth the curtains of your habitation, and don't spare. Lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. The stakes are the things that hold the tent in place. Say, strengthen it. And if you want to translate it into the natural realm, see how when it is time for the child to be delivered, loved ones organize what is called a baby shower. Why? To strengthen the financial, you know, the finances of the couple. Why? Because there's about to be an increase. It could be twins. It could be triplets. Hallelujah. So their stakes are strengthened so that they'll be well capable to contain. Are you with me?
Yes.
Wow. I pray that your spirit is about to be stirred up.
Amen.
Whoa, I tell you. Now we are going to read these scriptures. Let's read it in the King James from verse 1. We're going to read it till probably verse 10. And then I will read it in the Passion Translation for you. I think Chris, you have to figure out how to get the Passion Translation in Isaiah on your platform, because it's prohibitory. Anyway, it says, this from verse 1. Now, we just read verse 2. So we're going to now take it from verse 1 and have a picture. Let the Holy Spirit minister to us. What does he mean? And what is the basis? And what is all this about? Now, it says, sing, O barren. Now, think about it too. You who have been told to strengthen your habitation and to enlarge the curtain and all that, look at what it's saying. Sing, O barren, thou that is not bear. You are barren. You have never born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Thou that did not travail with child. You have never been pregnant. You have never entered into what is called labor. You don't know what labor is all about. You have never experienced it before. And the prophetic proclamation is that sing. Wow. Sing and cry aloud. Rejoice and let your rejoicing be mighty. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. Then it says, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. Wow. This does not add up. It doesn't make sense. Please understand the context that he's about to say. Enlarge your tents. Before you is barrenness. Before you is desolation. Before you is hopelessness. Before you is everything that makes it impossible for you to even think of enlarging your coast or your territory. It says, why? For more are going to be the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Why? Because the implication is that it is the married wife who can dream of enlarging her tent. It is a married wife who can say that because I foresee an enlargement of my family, I am going to enlarge my coast. But not so for the unmarried. Not so for the desolate. They don't, all they are thinking about is what to eat. just to survive. They don't think about extending your, you have eaten, you are so full, now you are thinking of enlarging your post. Does it make sense? Wow. Can you hear something?
Yes.
Now go to verse 2. Then we read that enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stick. Go to verse 3. Then it says, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. I mean, those who live in utter contempt for what God has done or is about to do through his son. That's what it means, the Gentiles. It says, your seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Those who live in violation and disrespect and utter contempt for what God is bringing forth or has brought forth through his son. And it says, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Wow. It doesn't add up. But this is what God is saying. For you shall break forth on the right, and you shall break forth on the left. Your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Wow. Next verse. Verse 4. Then it says, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of your youth. God says you will forget the shame of it. That means that there has been some shame associated with thy youth. When your strength was supposed to be at its height, you look to see the manifestation of strength and empowerment and establishment and enlargement, but what you saw brought shame. At a time when your strength and your mind should be able to accomplish much for you, you found out that this life isn't worth it. But God is saying that you shall forget the shame of your youth. My goodness, I didn't think about this. You shall forget the shame of your youth. Wow. At a time when your strength should be able to accomplish much, shame is what you experienced. And God says, you shall forget the shame of your youth and shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. You shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. You shall not remember it. Next verse. You want to read it in the passion. You love it. It says, for your maker is your husband. You are thinking that I'm not a woman, so this scripture does not apply to me. Don't be silly. Don't be silly. Understand when the Holy Spirit is speaking. A husband is representative of one. When you are married to this husband, you enter into privileges. You enter into benefits that you did not toil for. Just because you are married to the man, you bear the man's name. Oh my God. You begin to bear the name of the father. Oh my God. It says, I am your husband. I am your maker. And now I am your husband.
Yeah.
The one who made you is declaring that he's your husband.
Yes.
You're going to enter into the fullness of his, my God, of his privileges. Of his benefits. If demons bow to him, demons are now going to bow to you.
Yes.
By what means? Who am I? What did I do to enter into this privilege? He says, because I'm your husband. I'm bringing you into it. If there is desolation in your face, you are going to cause it to become habitable. Why? Because I'm your husband. I'm not only your maker, but I'm now your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, that's what it means, is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Now, Why is it important? Why is it important? Why is it important that you have respect to the name? Why is it important? The Bible says that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Believed on his name. I mean, if I believe that this man is called Jesus, what does it do to me? It's because when you believe, see, when you receive, see, right now, if I call Eric, Enoch does not respond. Enoch, do you respond?
No.
Why?
You didn't call me.
Exactly. Exactly. So when I receive Eric, I am receiving everything that appertains to Eric. Every nature, every attribute, every right, every privileges, every possession of Eric. So I am now receiving Eric as one whom God has blessed with a wife and made him a steward of four powerful boys. I am now receiving one who is a nurse. I am not receiving one who is this and that and that and that. Why? Because I am receiving and acknowledging a person whose name is Eric. So when you receive Jesus, you are receiving the Son of God. You are receiving everything that appertains to his name. You are receiving his power, his authority. You are receiving his words. You are receiving everything that he accomplished. The Bible says that because of his obedience and faithfulness, God raised him up and has made him to sit at his own right hand side, far above every principality, far above every power, far above every name, far above every dominion. That is what you have received. Am I preaching to you?
Yes.
It says, for your maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And you must begin to acknowledge, what is it that you have received? What is it that you have believed? Why? Why is it important? Because the Bible says that by the knowledge of him shall you and I be justified. If you don't have the knowledge of him, you don't know what you have received. You don't know what it means to be saved. You don't know what it means to be made righteous. You don't know what it means to be made a son and a child of God. Let's read it. Let's go on. It says, for the Lord has called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou was refused, you were rejected. Say it, thy God. You know what? Let's go to the passion. Now, Chris, don't have the passion, right? You don't have it in Isaiah, so I'm gonna read it. Wow! Let me read the passion for you. It just brings out the meanings nicely. It says, 1 minute, please. It says, rejoice with singing, you barren one, you who have never given birth. Burst into a song of joy and shout, you who have never been in labor. For the deserted wife will have more children than the married one, says Yahweh. Increase is coming. So enlarge your tent.
Amen.
It says, and add extensions to your dwelling. It says, hold nothing back. Wow. Hold nothing back. Make the tent ropes longer. Make the tent ropes longer. And the pegs stronger. Then it says, you will increase and spread out in every direction. Your sons and daughters will conquer nations and revitalize desolate cities.
Amen. It says,
do not fear.
Yes.
Your shame is no more. It says, do not fear, for your shame is no more. Do not be embarrassed, for you will not be disgraced. You will forget the inadequacy you felt in your youth. and will no longer remember the shame of your widowhood. You know, a widow in those times was the most to be pitied. Seriously. Mm. A widow in the time, in those Jewish times. It says, for your maker is your husband. His name is Yahweh, commander of angel armies. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He has the title Mighty God of all the earth. For I, Yahweh, have invited you to come back like a depressed, deserted wife. Like a young wife who has experienced rejection. I am drawing you back to me, says Yahweh. For just a brief moment, I deserted you. But with tender feelings of love, I will gather you back to me. In a surge of anger, for just the briefest moment, I hid my face from you. But with everlasting kindness, I will show you my cherishing love.
Yes.
Holy Spirit is speaking, please.
Yes.
Holy Spirit is speaking, please. I will show you my cherishing love, says Yahweh, your Redeemer. To me, this is like the time when I vowed that the waters of Noah's flood would never again cover the earth. Now, I vow to you that I will neither be angry with you nor rebuke you. Even if the mountains were to crumble and the hills disappear, my heart a steadfast, faithful love will never leave you, and my covenant of peace with you will never be shaken. My covenant of peace with you will never be shaken, says Yahweh, whose love and compassion will never give up on you. You unhappy one, storm-tossed and troubled, I am ready to rebuild you with precious stones and embed you with foundations and embed your foundation with sapphires. Wow.
Wow.
Everybody say wow.
Wow.
I tell you, now, it doesn't make sense that the one who is barren, who is unmarried, who has never experienced pregnancy before, who is called desolate and hopeless, is the one who has been now instructed to sing out for joy and to rejoice greatly. Enlarge the place of your tent. Wow. It's like Father is saying, start dreaming. Dream big. Don't let your situation communicate to you and define the perimeter of what I am bringing forth. Don't look at the arm of flesh or what you can do by yourself. Don't look at your limitations. It says, I am your maker and I have become your husband. And I'm bringing you into great benefits and realms of living that you did not work for.
Wow.
Then you say, but what is the basis of all this? What is the basis of all this? How many of you want to know the basis of all this? How many of you want to know why God would make such a proclamation? Well, let's read another scripture. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Give it to me in the King James, and I'll read it to you in the Passion. He said, why do you like reading the Passion so much? It's because I believe the Holy Spirit breathed upon somebody and the person was able to see things and make it easier to relate to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Because as it were, bring out. Why? Because the mystery that was hidden has not been revealed to the saints. And when somebody receives a revelation, all you do is you build up on it. You don't go and reinvent the wheel. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
But of course, you still don't get it, even though it has been made this time, because the Holy Spirit is the only one who can reveal it to your heart. When it is revealed to your heart, that is when change comes. That's when transformation comes. So you all this does is that it prepares you for the Holy Spirit's breathing upon your heart and the impartation of that revelation. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That word bruise is crush. It pleased the Lord. It pleased the Father to crush his son. It says, he has put him to grief. It pleased the Father to put the son to grief. It pleased the Father to put the son to grief. He said, why would it please the Father to crush the son? Why would it please the Father to bruise or to bring him, to subject him to the extreme end, to the most extreme of grief? Why? So much so that his tongue clave to his cheek or palate, because you are so thirsty that anything. Why did it please the Lord to subject him to that? Then it says, when thou shalt make his soul an offering. Why? Because God was making the soul of his son an offering for sin. Did he ever sin? Did the son ever sin?
No.
No. But it pleased the God to make his soul an offering for sin. What is the outcome? He says, he shall see his seed. He shall see what?
Seed.
He said, what does that mean? Do you remember Jesus saying that except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone?
Yes.
But when it dies and it comes forth, what does it bring forth? Not just a seed. Seeds contained in something so glorious is called fruit. So that the seed that went down and died cannot be compared to the fruit that is born. You cannot look at the seed and have any idea of what the fruit should be like. But that's exactly what Jesus did. Why? Why? Because, listen to me. Please listen carefully. So long as he existed, he was the only seed, and he was alone. He was the only one called the Son of God. He was the only one called the child of God. He was the only one. But when the seed was sown, was made sin, a sin offering, and died, out of that has come forth a generation. Because listen, what profession that when you mention, please tell me, what profession that when you mention a seed, it means everything to that profession? What profession is that? A farmer. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a farmer. If you mention seed, a doctor doesn't know what is that? Probably might think of pregnancy, but but for the farmer, everything is about seed.
Yeah.
And when you see a farmer gloating and just overcome with joy as he looks at the seed, please tell me, what is he so excited about the seed? I mean, is it something he's going to eat?
No.
So what is he gloating over? What is making him so excited? What is making him, it's like, it's worth everything. What is he looking at? He is looking for the harvest that seed is about to bring forth. True or false?
True.
The fruit. So,
exactly. So the Father shall see his seed. What seed? The son. He shall see his seed. The Father shall look at his seed. And he did not hesitate to crush him. Why? He must die. He must be made a sin offering. He must pay for every sin and the penalty associated with every sin, every law that you violated. He must pay for it, and he must die. But out of that seed is about to be born a generation. And so he says, he shall prolong his days. When a seed, when you crush a seed and it dies, how do you prolong its days? Because out of that seed, a generation of sons shall be born. And he says, he's going to prolong that seed's life. The life of that seed is now about to be prolonged through the generation that has been raised or born, the harvest that has been born out of that seed. Do you see it?
Yes.
Then it says, and the pleasure of the Lord, the pleasure, that which he purposed from the beginning, which was aborted by Adam's disobedience and disloyalty and treason, that which the enemy purposed to destroy, the Bible says, it shall prosper. It shall begin to now prosper. Let me just read it to you in the Passion. It says, are you ready?
Yes.
It says, even though it pleased Yahweh to crush him with grief, he will be restored to favor. After his soul becomes a guilt offering, he will gaze upon his many offsprings. He will gaze upon his many offspring, and he will prolong his days. And it says, and through him, Yahweh's deepest desires will be fully accomplished. Do you see it? Through him, through his obedience, through his sacrifice, Yahweh, God, the Father's deepest desires will be fully accomplished. Wow. So Christ's sacrifice results in the birth of sons. He will seek his spiritual offspring and now begin to enjoy his living through. He begins to enjoy living his life through the sons that he has brought forth in the resurrection. In that sense, Father is now prolonging the days of the son or the seed. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that the life we live is no longer us living. The life that we live is no longer us living. But in a way, Father is now prolonging the life of the son through sons. Brought forth out of hell. That's why he's called the first to be born again from hell. Because in that, the day that God gave birth to him again in hell, that was when you were born again. When God raised him up, that was when. You see, when God raised him up, he had to be, it's because he had to be made righteous again. Because he was made sin. He needed to be made righteous again. Who? Son of God? No. Son of man. Because at the time when he hung upon the cross, did he not say, my God, why have thou forsaken me?
Yes.
It's because the Son of God had to rip apart from the Son of Man. So important to understand this. The Son of God had to, because as soon as he was made sin, because light cannot cohabit with darkness, the Son of God had to rip apart. And then the Son of Man had to be there alone, forsaken by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the Son of Man alone was there. That's why he said that a body has thou prepared me. For I come to do thy will. I'm a sin offering. I'm a guilt offering. I'm going to become everything that is wrong with your sons and daughters and buy them back so that I will make them sons. Bible said that he brought sons into glory. That is you. And that is me. Now, you see, please, this is very important. I wish I could stay here and expound on it because let me just read the scripture to you. Let me read the scripture to you. Look at Psalm 22, verse 30. Psalm 22, verse 30. Look at Psalm 22, verse 30. So that you can understand what I'm telling you. It says, now just so you know, Psalm 22 is the prophetic elucidation of the cross of Calvary. If you read from remember last time we read Psalm 22?
Yeah.
Talks about my God, that forsaking me.
Yeah.
Yes, they pierced my side, all my, you know, I'm like a worm. you know, they look at me, they mock me. Everything that was said in that Psalm 22, even before Jesus was born, it was talking about it was a prophetic declaration of what is going to happen to the Son of Man. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And in that Psalm 30, he says, a seed shall serve him. See, what is that? That seed shall be accounted to the Lord for a what?
A generation.
For a what?
A generation.
Can you see that when God saw the seed, the reason why it pleased him to crush that seed was because he was looking forward to the generation, which is you and me. That is why he could not withhold his son, because he saw you. That is why the son looked at the crushing, look at the humiliation, look at the pain, the torment, everything, and despised the shame. He said, it not be anything compared to the generation that I'm bringing forth, and which is you, and which is me. So that now you enter into the place called sons, brought into glory, and you enter into benefits and privileges so much so that God himself, the maker, becomes your husband. Why? Because you are now married to him. Fellowship is restored. Righteousness is established. The guilt is removed. There is no past. There is no history. There is no accusation. There is no criticism. Nothing can be brought up against you. No, the enemy cannot visit your past and remind you of what is wrong with you and what you have done. And say that because of what you have done, this shall be the result. Say, no. You know, when an American marries a Ghanaian woman, by that marriage, this Ghanaian woman immediately, automatically, without any effort, without anything, enters into the full privileges of what it means to be a citizen. True or false?
True.
That's what it is. That's what it is. That's what it is. And so you find out that anything that anybody, any American will enjoy, it automatically becomes yours just because by association. By marriage. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is how it is. This is the reason why he will say, you who are barren, you who have never become pregnant and know what is called pregnancy and going to the labor ward and shaming to bring a child. You hear what I just said? You are shaming.
Shaming. Forgive.
You have never done that before. You don't know what it is. You don't even know what it is to become so heavy with a child, and any day the child is about to pop, you don't even know what it is. You say, begin to sing. Wow. Why? Because he made his soul an offering for everything that you are deprived of because of your nature and the acts. Even when your own conscience condemned you, he says, now, no more. You have been brought into a privilege and a benefit that had nothing to do with your effort. Now, you see it? A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord. You know, please, I need you to understand this because you see, this is the scripture that we read last time. If you look at that same Psalm 22, probably look at verse 10. You will see what I'm talking about. Look at verse 10 or verse 11. You will see. But I want you to see that it is really about, it says, go to verse 16 or something. Yeah. For doors have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Did this happen to David?
No.
Exactly. So who is it referring to?
Jesus Christ.
Exactly. So I want you to see that all these things were happening to him. All these things were written about him and prophesied even before Mary became pregnant. That this is what's going to happen. They will pierce your hands. They will pierce your feet. They will, if you look at it, it says that they treated my garments. Look at it somewhere. Probably verse, I don't know, verse 17 or earlier verse 4. I'm not sure. They treated my garments. They treated his garments. Look at it. They cast lots. You see somewhere. It's somewhere in there.
Yeah, 18.
18. Very good. Look at it. What does it say? Look at it. What does it say? They passed my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Who was this referring to?
Jesus.
So now go to verse 30. Now you can understand. You can understand. You can understand what is happening. Verse 30, a seed. You know, look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. Verse 22 is a shift from all that was happening. It's like, it's a paradigm shift. It's like, it says, I will declare your name unto my brethren. Wow. The son is now talking about his brethren. Why? Because that's why he came. Mm-hmm. That is why he was conceived. That is why when Peter came and said that, no, you will not die. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't know why I've even come to this world. You don't know why I'm even going to be born by a woman. You don't know why I even called you. You don't know anything about anything. Because he saw you. He saw me. He saw our children. See, they shall inhabit the desolate places and they shall turn them into habitable places. He said, I will declare your name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation or the church. I will praise thee. I will reveal you, my Father. I will show you to them. I will cause them to see your compassion, your love, your mercy, your kindness, your justice. Because by virtue of what Adam did, they were so perverted. It is righteous that I also come and turn their perversion and their captivity into that which you purposed from the beginning. Put your hands together for the Lord. Wow. Wow. What do you think? That is justice. Anyway, let's go on to now. I want to show you something. We're going to read about some people and how they gave themselves to make life, their life on earth, better. What is exactly what all of us are trying to do? We give ourselves to make our lives better. We have tried right from when we turned, 14, 15, we went to school. When we were in high school, we tried to study and do our best. We tried to pass exams because we were told that's the only way your life will become better. We have done all these things. You will realize that still, you are cheated out of things. True or false?
True.
Now, let's read, because so that you can understand this thing better. You can understand this better. That is why he will say that the children of the desolate shall become more than the children of the married. Now, and so, let's read some the stories of some people. So we're going to read some few things. Are you ready?
Yes.
How many of you are blessed by the prophetic message declaration? No, by the way, let me tell you something. One man of God had a visitation. I don't know if you want to know, hear these things, because I don't know. But to me, it means everything. It means everything. Because he had a visitation and he saw something about 5 years ago, and God told him, don't share it. Don't tell anybody.
Wow.
And then he asked him, can I tell my wife? He said, yes, you can tell your wife. Can you believe that just a few days ago, God came and told him, now, share.
Wow.
How many of you know what it was about? I didn't see anybody's hands. I'm not going to share it. Okay.
My hand is up.
Only one person. All the rest didn't show their hands. They don't want to hear anything about anything.
Hey, okay. My hand is also up. You didn't look well.
Okay. The Lord told him, he actually entered into a vision and he saw the Lord, and he saw angel Michael, and angel Michael and the Lord were talking, and they said, angel Michael said that, "We are ready. We are ready." And the Lord also said, "I'm also ready." He didn't understand what it was. And so the conversation went on. And then when they were done, he turned to the man and said, "We are now." First of all, he said, "I have never had as many people who hate me so much." Now, "I've never had as many people who hate me so much." And then he said, "I've also never had as many people who love me so much." Then he said, "I am going to kiss the souls of those who hate me. I'm going to do what?
Kiss the souls.
Of those who hate me." Why? Because I'm going to turn their heart back to me. Because they're deceived. They walk in rebellion, but I'm going to kiss their souls. They will know my love, and they will also know my power. And so he told the guy, "Go tell them. Go tell them." And he gave a specific month. He says, "Tell my people to get ready, because I'm about to invade with my power and with my love." it gave a specific. It's only about probably a few weeks away from now.
Wow.
When I heard him, I'm like, "Wow, it's nice." But and then he told him, "Go and tell them, I need them to read 3 chapters in the Bible." Three books in the Bible, 3 books. And all the 3 books put together are only 14 chapters. 14 chapters. All the 3 put together are only 14 chapters. Then let them read Ephesians. Let them read Philippians. Let them read Colossians. And he said, Ephesians reveal who they are in me. Colossians reveal who I am. Philippians will reveal the life which I've called them to live. And he said they must do it before we enter February. Now, please, it's only 14 chapters. I started reading it. I started reading it. He says, "I'm going to reveal myself to them in ways they have never known." Anyway, that was just, I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop once said that he has not seen certain things, but he knows somebody who has seen those things. And yeah. So when that person writes, he says, "I'm for it." Because that person could never have written those things. It is impossible for a person to have those encounters. I mean, imagine those encounters, they come and write them. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about this preparation and this readiness. How many of you are really excited about this that's going to happen? He's going to kiss even the heart, the soul of those who hate him. I mean, it's going to be glorious. But he told him that, he said that it's not going to be like, you know, the Hollywood style of, "Oh, clouds are falling." And no, it's not going to be like that. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not going to be like, "Oh, now suddenly the skies are, something happened in the skies." No. But they that ready themselves, they will know. They will know. They will see that I'm moving now. They will see that now I'm coming forth, I'm coming through. And their barrenness, their desolation. I love it. I love it. Their rejection, their hopelessness. Oh, anyway, now let's read the scripture. Jeremiah 45. Jeremiah 45. I'm reading from the book. Jeremiah 45 from verse 1 to 5. Now, by the way, Attempt Great Things is the book that our prophet wrote. And I'm preaching from it. Pay attention. Pay attention, because it's there's something that you must learn. So important. Jeremiah 45 from verse 1 to 5. Please give me the scripture. Jeremiah 45 from verse 1 to 5. The reason why I need us to pay attention and to pay attention carefully, I'll show you. It says, The way that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, so Baruch was like a scribe, writing everything that the prophet Jeremiah would write. Go on. Saying, thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch. Go on. He says, thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Go on. Thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord saith thus, behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. Go on. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Look at it. Are you seeking great things for yourself? Seekest thou great things for yourself? Seek them not. Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, said the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. Hey! Now, give me the people, please. Let me just explain what is happening here to you. Baruch was a scribe who wrote down the prophecies and the messages of Jeremiah. He was so close to Jeremiah that he became a target of the enemies of Jeremiah. God blessed Baruch with a personal prophecy. He told him, do not seek things for yourself. There is no point in seeking great things for yourself because evil is coming upon the earth. That evil will destroy all that great accomplishments you have sought. Seek them not, is the word to Baruch. And the prophet writes, and he says that I believe that is the word of God for all of us. Do not seek great things for yourself. Seek great things for God. As you seek the great things for God, God will give you all the things you have not sought. Now, why is this important? And why is this going to tie into the prophecy which we read regarding the barren and the desolate to start singing and rejoicing? Because there is a power, there is a manifestation that is about to be given to the sons and to the daughters. There is a sharing of the booty. America will say booty. That is about, listen to me. Read a scripture, please. Give me the scripture. Isaiah. Okay. Remember, we read Isaiah 54. Remember?
Yeah.
Let's read Isaiah 53. The place from which we go to 54. Isaiah 53. Let's read from verse 10. I mean, from we read verse 10. We read verse 10. Let's read verse 10 and 11 together. And 12. And I'll show you something. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Are you excited?
Yes.
You want God to come through on your behalf?
Oh, yes.
To make impossible become possible.
Make impossible possible.
To turn your mourning into dancing.
Dancing.
To turn your captivity into victory and rejoicing. Now, Isaiah 53. No, not 54, 53. From there is when we come to 54. So, Isaiah 53 from verse 10. Yeah. Isaiah 50. Oh, what did I say? Isaiah 53 from verse 10. Now, we read this earlier. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. And I told you that his seed, that seed is accounted to the Lord or to God for a generation. So he shall see that generation and he shall prolong the days of that one called the seed. He shall prolong his days through the seed that is going to bring forth a generation. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Why? Because he's going to multiply his life, the life of the son, into sons. And he will propagate that life through the sons. Now look at verse 11. He shall see the labor of his soul. Whose soul? Jesus. Now remember, this is the prophetic. This is Psalm 53, Isaiah 53, which talks about he was wounded, he was bruised, by his stripes we are healed. Remember? That's Isaiah 53, verse 3 and 4. Now, verse 10 is what we just read. Verse 11, it says, he shall see the labor of his soul. Please, I want you to follow me. Are you following me?
Yes.
I need you to understand what the he and the all that means. So just so that you understand, let's read from verse 3. I want you to see something. I'm telling you, I'm taking you to school of the word. It says he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Who is talking about?
Jesus.
Verse 4, quickly. Yet we did esteem, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our
transgressions.
He was bruised for our
iniquities.
The punishment for our peace was upon him. Who is him?
Jesus Christ.
With his stripes. Whose stripes?
Jesus.
We are healed. So now we know who he's talking about, right?
Yes.
Now, this is Isaiah 53. And then we went down to 10. Now, let's read verse 11 so that we can see what the he and the his all mean. This is the prophetic. This is Isaiah, the prophet, speaking, seeing things which were years away, but he didn't know what it was. But the Holy Spirit was just moving upon him and just telling him, and he was just writing these things. He says, he shall see the labor of his soul. He shall see the travail. The word labor is travail. Travail. How do you know that when a pregnant woman goes to the birthing ward, she travails? How do you know that she travails?
Yes.
Yes. So Bible says that God shall see the travail of the soul of his son, the crushing, the laboring, the sweat, like blood, drops of blood coming down. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. Say with me, God has satisfied everything that was against me. Please, it is so important to see it. It says that God shall see the travail of the soul of the son, and he shall be satisfied. So when the enemy comes and reminds you of anything in your past, anything in your generation, anything in your bloodline, anything that you have done, anything, any violation, any sin that you have committed, say that God has already been satisfied.
Wow.
He has been appeased by everything. That is why the blood not only spoke for you, the blood still speaks. It speaks today, it shall speak tomorrow, it shall speak next week. Why? Because we dwell in this house called flesh. It is a source of a strong temptation, but the Lord is the one who delivers us from every one of them. Go back to the scripture, please. I'll show you something. Then it says, please go back to Isaiah 53, where we read verse 11. It says, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge, or by the knowledge of him, my righteous servant shall justify many. Please. You know, let me read it to you. Let me read it. It says, for he shall bear their iniquities. Why is he going to justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. But that justification and the experience thereof, it comes by the knowledge of what he has done. Does that make sense?
Yes.
by his knowledge or by the knowledge of him. The person says, after the great anguish of his soul, he will see light and be fully satisfied. By knowing him, the righteous one, my servant, will make many to be righteous, because he, their sin bearer, carried away their sins. Look at verse 12. This is the thing that I want you to see. This is the reason. This is the basis. This is the reason why that Isaiah 54 is so powerful. Now, notice that it's Isaiah 53 we are reading. It says, therefore, because of what my righteous servant has done, not because you have believed. No. That's why he didn't even consult you when he was doing it. You're not even born. Only your spirit existed. You were existed as a spirit, but you had never even come here to experience what sin is. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. It says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. God is saying that he will divide a portion. He will divide Jesus. He will divide his son. He will divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. How did he become great? How did he become strong? The son has now brought you into the place called the great and the strong. You're not the weak. You're not the impotent. You're not the negligible. No. It says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. See, that is why you have become an heir of God and a joint heir with the son. What did you do to enter into this privilege? Because the one who is your maker has become your husband. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Please, am I preaching to you?
Yeah.
Then it says, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Because the wages of sin is death, he had to pay for that sentence of death that had taken everybody and removed everybody from the life of God. And once death was paid for, now we enter into life where sin no longer rules us. For the wages of sin, the wages of that nature, separate and kept all men from the life, from partaking of the life of God. Now sin is satisfied. It says because he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and he makes intercession. See, even as he has risen, he's interceding for you. and made intercession for the transgressor. Let me just read it to you in the Passion. It says, so I, Yahweh, will assign him a portion among a great multitude, and he will triumph and divide the spoils of victory with his mighty ones, all because he poured out his lifeblood unto death. He was counted among the worst of sinners, yet he carried sin's burden for many and intercedes for those who are rebels. He does what? He intercedes for those who are what?
Rebels.
You see, can you see why what I heard brought a resonation inside me?
Wow.
He says, I will kiss the souls of those who are rebellious or who hate me. You see, you cannot understand why God will allow somebody who is doing so much evil and bringing so much evil upon the earth for that person to live to 70, to 80. You wonder, is it God? Why? Take him out so that he can be free. No.
Kill him.
Kill him. Ah, we are tired of this. Of this president, a kind of, I mean, think about it. Think about Idi Amin. Idi Amin. I mean, why was he allowed? Are you with me?
Yeah.
I think of Adolf Hitler. Think about all the injurious people who had led Stalin and Mussolini, all those wild, wild people, they kill mercilessly and they don't die instantly. And you wonder, why? Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's because he stretches forth a rope, a very long rope, waiting for the person to allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit to bring him into repentance. And so that anybody who goes to hell can never blame God. See, what about those who don't hear the gospel? Paul answered that question. See, the whole of creation ministers his love. Even those who don't know, have never heard the gospel, they shall be judged by the laws that they live with. So that their judgment will be different from us who have been privy to what Jesus, why God sent his son, what his son came to accomplish, and all that. Are you with me? My grandmother, who didn't know anything about anything, all he knew was, she knew was, you know, just gods all around. You must do this. You must love your neighbor. You have to love people. Otherwise, it'll not be well. See, all they know was just basic stuff. At the time that she was dying, she said, "Why have you removed my tent? Why have you removed my roof? And water is pouring over me.
Wow.
Why have you removed the roof? And water is pouring over me. Why?" She was dying, but she didn't know what it was.
Wow.
And that was how she entered into the other world.
Wow.
It's mysterious. And you will think that, did she receive Jesus Christ as his first savior? I don't know. But the judgment that God will mete out to her is based on what she was privy to.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is a just and righteous God. So you and I, who have access to the word and are privileged to be able to read and appreciate what God has done for us. You say you have denied. You will deny what he stands for. Oh, no. It cannot be. It's not for naught. It's not for naught that you can read. It's not for naught.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, now read those scriptures and ready yourself what I'm coming to do. Hey. And don't give your life to pursue what will make you happy, but give your life to stand for what I stand for. So let's do some few things because I'm about to end. Time is almost up. Wow. We'll continue, but let me just share something with you. Jacob. He attempted great things for himself, but was cheated out of greatness. let's read. Let's read it. Because the Bible is full of examples of people who attempted great things for themselves. There is so much corruption and cheating in the world that working hard doesn't yield very much. It doesn't. Let's read, where's the scripture? Let's read Genesis chapter 31 and then we'll close. We'll continue. Genesis chapter 31 from verse 36. Please, let's read it. Wow. That's what Jesus said. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Probably we will just read the scripture and then read one last scripture and then we will close. It says, and Jacob was wroth and chided with Laban. He was just arguing with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my sin? What's my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Next verse. What did I do wrong? Look at it. Next verse, quickly, please. We don't have much time. Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found? Found of all thy household stuff. See it here before my brethren and your brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. Next verse, quickly. Then it says, this 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young. and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. Next verse. See, 20 years have I have saved you. That which was torn of beast, I brought not unto thee. I bore the loss of it. Of my hand did thou require it. Whether stolen by day or stolen by night, you didn't care. You didn't care. Whether a bear entered and stole it, you don't care. So all you cared was, hey, I gave you 10. Oh, how come they are now 9? And I paid for it.
Yeah.
Next verse. Next verse. Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me and the frost consumed me by night and my sleep departed from my eyes. Hey, next verse. You think that Jacob, there's a reason why he was called whatever he was called. He says, thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I saved thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast charged my, you have changed my wages 10 times.
Times.
Yeah. We enter into a bargain. You said, I will give you $10. After 2 months, you see things. Then, no, I said, I'll give you 10. No, I'll make you 5. Hey, that's no problem.
Well, that's the stone uncle. Wow.
The goalpost keeps changing, you know. His own uncle. Next verse. Quickly, go on. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesterday. Hey, next verse. Let's go. Where are we? Verse 22. Let me move on. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters. And these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters or unto their children which they have born? Ochia. Is he didn't let him go free of charge, but because he invoked and recounted all that he has suffered under his hands.
Yeah.
He said, you know what? So, this guy has gotten my daughters. I let's let him go. If it wasn't my daughters, I would have taken everything away.
Hardcore.
I tell you, now you think that Laban is wicked, is evil. Listen, this is what we wear.
Oh yeah.
This is what we all of us wear. It's only when you are at the receiving end that is when you begin to think about God. But when you are the one who is dishing out the wickedness, then you think that you are justified.
Yeah.
It's a very common thing. It's a very common thing. Let me just read another story. Then we probably will close right now. Now, look at Luke 12, verse 16. Luke 12, verse 16. Now we are coming into what Jesus himself said. Luke 12 from verse 16 to 21. Luke 12 verse 16 to 21. Why am I sharing all these things with you? Because I need you to see that the power that is about to be made manifest is only to those who believe. Only to those who believe. Only to those who believe. And I'll show you why. I don't have time, so maybe I'll save it till next week. And it says, and he spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Plentifully. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth how much? Plentifully. Next verse. And he thought within himself, saying, now notice something, though. He said within his heart. He didn't even say it out of his mouth. To who? No. But that is what he thought. That is why you should be very careful. The thought that you dwell on. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. If it wasn't Jesus who told us this story, nobody could have known what he was thinking in his heart. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, but God knew. He searches the heart. Why? Why? Because the corruption that is in our heart, that's why he came.
Shia.
So that man will no longer live by man. But man will now begin to live by means of the Son's life. Look at it. And he thought within himself, said, what should I, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Next verse, quickly. Then he says, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Next verse. This is all saying in his heart. Mm. And I will say to my soul, mm-hmm. I will say to my soul, soul, what are you saying to your soul? What are you saying to your soul? Are you at ease because things seem to be working? No, 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 no. Be at ease because of he who is within you, whose life you are living. That is where you are sure. It says, and I will say to you, I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Next verse. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night your soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Next verse. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Meaning that he does not take to utmost consideration why even God allows him to have what? Why did God give me my son? Why did God give me my daughter? Why did God give me this access to this word? Why did God make me hear all these things? Why did God save me from that accident? Why did God save me from that hopelessness situation? Why did God allow me to marry? Why did God bring me into this workplace? Why did God give me this privilege? What? He's not rich towards God. He's not rich towards God. He doesn't think. So what do I do with this money? You just make plans. Just make plans. Say, oh, I've paid my tithe, so it's enough. Listen, it's more than that. And he says that I am about to cause, say, extend your tent because I am going to bring forth my son's life and I'm going to manifest it through you. But, let me just read this and we close. Please, I beg you, just bear with me for this 1 second. But, this one thing that I'm doing, this one thing, he says, Psalm 24, verse 3-4. Who then, Psalm 24, verse 3-4, it says, who then is allowed to ascend the mountain of Yahweh? And who has the privilege of entering into God's holy place? Those who are clean, whose works and ways are pure, whose hearts are true and sealed by the truth. Those who never deceive, those whose words are sure. I just read from the Passion. Listen, guys. Oh, yeah. Those who are clean. Jesus says that you are clean because of the words that I've spoken unto you. So when you bring yourself under his word, you are clean. Not because of what you did. Not because of what you are able to do. But you have just respect for what he says. He says, you are clean. Now wait, I am going to now break forth through you. Why? Because I am going to touch the hearts of the rebellious through you. And as to provision, you see, just like when he told Moses, go and do this, but I'm my stamina, I'm this, and he was so angry. You think I will send you and not equip you? Did I not make you? Don't I know all this that you stammer? Do I don't know all this about you? So why are you talking to me about your deficiencies and all that? I am sending you. I chose you. I purpose everything about you. And I'm going to bring forth my intentions through you. All I want to say, yes, Lord. That's all I need from you. And he says that you are clean because of the words which I've spoken to you. You are clean. You are righteous. You are everything that the Father purposed. And now watch out. Get ready. And let me begin to manifest manifest my love and my power through you. The earth cannot deny. Your enemies cannot deny my presence and my power and my love that is about to be unleashed through you. But don't you ever live for yourself. Just take off your fingerprints from everything. Let me be. Let me be. Let me be. Let me come in. Let the King of Glory come in. Let the gates be lifted up. Let the King of Glory come in. It's about to happen. We shall see it. We shall partake of it. Don't rule yourself out. Don't visit your past. Don't look at things around you and let them communicate to you. Don't. For your mighty one, your maker, who is your husband, is at work and is ready. Get ready for him. And your shame will be no more. And your desolation will be no more. And you shall see and you shall marvel. And you say, wow, give me more years. Give me many more years to see the pouring forth of yourself through me. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Wow. Well, we are blessed. Let's say sorry for taking you. How many of you enjoyed gospel today? beautiful. Well, let's just pray with me. Just pray with me and say, Father, give me your spirit of revelation.
Give me your spirit of wisdom.
Cause the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened.
Bring me into the knowledge
of the hope to which you have called your son. And the riches of the glory of your inheritance that is in me. And the exceeding greatness of your power that is resident in me.
And the exceeding greatness of your power that is resident in me.
All because you raised your son from the dead. And you have made me to reign with him. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, as you get ready, as you ready yourself, this is what you're going to enter into. You're going to enter into revelation, and you find out that you not struggle to tear out all the dross, because see that I will sit and I will purify them. Why? So they'll be carriers of my life. This is what God is going to do with you and with me as we ready ourselves that we may attempt great things for him. Amen. Well, let's take our communion. Let go for your body. Go for your body. Go for your blood. Yeah, this is the covenant. This is the covenant. The broken body and the blood is the covenant that has established and sealed his intention. So now we know his intention. We know his purpose. And once you know his will, you can walk in faith. Because faith is based on the will of the Father. Faith is based on knowing what his will is. If you don't know the will of the Father, you cannot exercise faith for it. That is how come we have been so disappointed in so many things that we wanted God to come through, not knowing that that is not what he's doing for us and with us. But now, with the body, with the blood, everything that Jesus suffered, everything that the blood has accomplished, we have faith for it. It's ours. Healing, acceptance. Oh, the peace of God. Every one of them belongs to us. because we know that Jesus came to demonstrate the will of the Father, and every one of what he accomplished belongs to us. Lift up the body with me and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ.
Body of Jesus Christ.
Let's eat the body. And say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Well, we are blessed. We are blessed to be called the sons of the Most High God. Our Maker is also our husband. Therefore, shall we rejoice. Beautiful. Let's take our...